We're how happy to have with us Washington State 17th District Senator Paul Harris joining us. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Oh, not bad. And we're into the home stretch now, aren't we? We are closing in on the scheduled end of the session.
Yeah, Mark. You know, Mark, you're making me laugh because I know you don't want to know what's going on, but we're really a day or two early, believe it or not. So, no, it just...
I know. I'm not disagreeing here.
I just kind of go, you've got to be kidding me. Because, like last night, we had huge changes on one of the budgets. I don't even think we know what's going to... It'll be interesting to chat with you because this is going to be... Yeah, well, everything's still in play, man.
Well,
in flux.
Well, let's go to the transportation budget because the Washington State Standard reporting that... it looks like a revenue package is beginning to get settled. It would hike the gas tax 6 cents a gallon beginning on the 1st of July. Is that what you're hearing on this?
Depends on which one's negotiated out. And, and that one's one of the budgets that's being negotiated right now. I believe the gas tax will go up. The question is whether it'll be 6 cents or 8 cents. Voted for the, I believe it was a 6 cents that came out of the Senate, which included the White Salmon Hood River Bridge.
Okay.
In it, that's hugely important. I was one of four Republicans that voted for the package, and I voted for it specifically for that bridge. So that's still being negotiated. So another bridge that was included in that package is a smaller bridge called the Slough Bridge coming out of Camas in Washougal. It's where it comes down to one lane there, just right outside of Camas. That's very important to the area, too, on the Highway 14. So we will see. I'm not actually sure what is going to be included in the package yet because they're negotiated, and I'm not part of that deal.
Yeah. See, is the transportation one, I don't want to say maybe easier, but in the actual process, because for those who aren't familiar, you got House Democrats, Senate Democrats. They're the ones doing the negotiating here. They're the majority party in both chambers. You have a Democrat governor who, you know, at least on the general fund budget side, he and the legislature have not really seen eye to eye on a number of revenue options here. Is it a bit easier on the transportation side?
It is easier on the transportation side, yes. Yeah. So I think it'll just really depend. Our package in the Senate was more aggressive. Took out some other funds out of some other areas that the House didn't like on the D side, so that the D's are fighting a little bit on, and I really don't know which package is going to come out, if it's going to be more the Senate package or the House package. I would hope the Senate package, actually, because it was better for our area specifically.
Well, I was going to say, the House, if I remember right, of course, did not have the bridge. The Hood River White Salmon Bridge. I admit I don't know as much about the Slough Bridge, so I'm assuming it probably wasn't in there either.
It was not. You're doing really good, Mark.
Well, you know, you pay attention a little bit. But do you have a gut feel for right now for the bridge funding?
Yeah, my gut feel would be that the White Salmon Hood River Bridge will get funded. The Slough Bridge won't. We'll pass a package of some sort. There's going to be a tax increase, like I said, probably between 6 and 8 cents. And then hopefully oil has continued to go down in price. And I hope hopefully it will continue to, so we won't feel the 6 to 8 cents, to be quite frank, because it's tough times out there. So I just hope that, but we definitely need to put money into transportation and infrastructure and maintenance, and this does that. It does something unique that takes about $1 billion a year and puts it in, which will be committed from now on out of the sales tax, and we'll put it into roads, and we need that for maintenance and operational. So it's a completely different approach to transportation, something we should have done a long time ago, something actually Republicans have fought for. And at least in the Senate, Democrats agreed with us, and we're taking some sales tax money and putting it into roads.
Well, is there a reality? I mean, we get again to this discussion. I mean, the gas tax, as vehicles are more efficient or don't use gas at all, well, was a very reliable source of transportation funding, is becoming more and more difficult to rely on. that it, regardless of what the different solutions are, it's there's going to have to be a different mindset to this, not just in this particular budget, but especially down the road as we go further, maybe another 5 to 10 years, there's going to have to be some other options developed to be able to match that shortfall.
I would agree. There was a vehicle mileage that we've looked at numerous times. I don't like that. Taxing you basically on the miles, you would report your mileage. Very unpopular action among constituents, too. But we need to come up with something. So we will. That was discussed heavily this year. It concerned me a little because we've kind of had, you can kind of tell things that keep coming back year after year and you have a stronger dialogue. You realize, oh, that's still alive and that's really in their minds. I've never liked the vehicle mileage tax. It's cumbersome. And I'll be honest, paying at the pump is super easy. It's either going to me, what would be easier, and I know people don't like this, but to me it would either be in your car tab somehow or something. I don't know, but somehow we're going to have to collect a tax for you driving on the roads. And especially with electric cars, to be quite frank, they're very heavy. They do actually a lot of damage to the roads. And so it's just comical that on one side, you're right, they're very environmental in one way, but they do cause damage to our roads. They actually weigh more than an average car.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would hope, though, as the technology improves, that we see that issue start to be mitigated, like anything else.
Yep, I would agree.
So let's move on then. We'll just go the general fund budget here. And this is where that dynamic I just outlined really has come into play here. I believe it was over the weekend it was reported that the property tax limitation increase has either gone away or it has changed to a good extent. What are you hearing?
Exactly. You're right on cue. I would think that the property tax, that lift that we were looking at, that I was adamantly opposed to, getting rid of the 1% and going to a 3%, I believe that act is dead. But now what they're looking at is a different measure or a different bill. It's a Senate Bill 5798, which doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but it takes a look. I was on the McCleary Task Force. And it takes us back to our McCleary days, which looks at the ability to raise money for schools through levies now. Mm-hmm. And I will stand up and adamantly speak against this bill. This literally takes us exactly back to McCleary. It says, in our McCleary day, mm-hmm. people might not understand this, but we had a levy authority where you could levy 28% of your school funding could come from your local levies. Mm-hmm. And if you couldn't pass the levy, then we would do what we call levy equalization, which is the state would come in and pay for places that couldn't pass the levy. They would levy you, they would give you 14%. So you're still, if you follow me, you're still 14% short from a place that could pass the levy. Okay. Well, this bill takes it to 30% and goes to 15%. So the court struck this down once before. I just find this. So this is where we're going. Mm-hmm. This is the bill that's on the table now to fix education. I know of 10 districts that on Monday, that if we pass this, we'll be in court again. There are 10 districts that are going to sue immediately if we pass this.
I would think, you know, of course, you have a former attorney general as governor. I mean, this I haven't really heard about this particular proposal because there's a ton of them out there.
This is the one that has traction, Mark, and this is the one that they think is going to solve their education issue. So go ahead.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, if this is what was struck down in the McCleary decision,
yep.
Why would that change a decade later if this goes into a court situation? I don't see where this, you know, I guess that this one leaves me, you know, as a fairly nonpartisan person here, scratching my head a bit. Going to this?
Well, I was one that was on the McCleary Task Force in 2014. Mm-hmm. Because things aren't always just right up here at times, Mark. So it's an easy fix. Some of the largest districts have levy. This is what's really insidious to me. Is so Seattle, many districts have already passed a levy above what they can what they could actually do. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So they have levy band authority, levy authority just sitting there. And the largest one, of course, is guess who? Seattle. Seattle's already passed a levy where if they could levy authority, if we pass this bill, they can on immediately get $5 million. And there's several school districts, there's about 18 that have passed levies where they have extra authority sitting there that they could grab immediately, and away they go.
Now,
so it solves a problem for about 14 districts that are rather large, and you can kind of imagine where they are up north. But then it causes a greater disparity because they're not putting, what I didn't tell you is they're not putting levy equalization into this bill. They don't even address it. They just address the levy authority.
Well, as a, so how would you do a levy equalization right now under this plan if you don't, I mean, if you, given your budget situation right now, where would that money even be able to come from?
They don't have it, Mark. So they're just addressing one side of the paradigm. That's why there'll be a lawsuit. If they do this, and literally this is the only thing I've heard thus far that's in the motion for education, which is tragic. I mean, we won't win that court case. Now, they might be able to walk out of here and say we balanced a budget, but it won't be for long. So, yeah, that's a tragedy. And then it's not fair to students either. It's not fair to the kids in White Salmon, Evergreen, all of our districts down there, because Stevenson, Carson, because we can't pass a levy. And if we did, it costs us so much more per thousand. This just isn't right, and they're not putting in levy equalization to equal to what the levy authority is. So,
well, I would think also
I will be at. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that, but that's what's looking for education.
Well, I would think, you know, in, you know, also, I mean, it looks like it could be a, it would be a solution, but if it can't meet court muster, those big districts don't see the money either. And then, especially, and then if you plan for it in a budget, which if I wouldn't do given the situation, but if you do, now you've got problems in the middle of a school year, probably, because that's probably when your court decision is going to come down.
Yeah, and we'll be back probably in a year. Well, probably next session, and we'll have to address that. And hopefully, times will be better. But that's not the way I would like to do it. So,
I will turn this a little more locally here in the few minutes we have left. Of course, Gorge Commission was another issue. I mean, you and I talked about 3 weeks ago. Again, another one of those in the Senate budget, not in the House budget. Where is that standing right now?
The governor's aware of that. I actually received a really nice letter from the governor regarding funding that. I think many of us, I think it'll end up being in the budget.
Okay. Of course, the level is in question. But as you said,
I think the level will be also there, Mark.
Okay.
What was interesting, it's been great dialogue on the Gorge Commission. I think many people are aware that maybe they haven't spent enough time on economic development.
Yeah.
And that was really what was brought up, was 50% of their time is supposed to be economic development, and 50% of their time is supposed to be making sure the Gorge stays the way historically, a preservation, a beautiful place. But I think they heard loud and clear that they haven't done their economic work, and that's really what was holding up their money, I think.
So that one sounds like it's going to come through. The other thing Kevin Waters mentioned on the show a couple of weeks ago, on the House side, in the 17th district, that he also found that a lot of the folks who are from, you know, other areas of the state really didn't have an idea what the Gorge Commission was. He even told me a story that one representative told him, asked him the question, why are we funding a commission for concerts? Confusing it with George. And that's something you don't, that Frank, on the Oregon side, because Portland's so connected to it that you don't hear about or think about. And more I thought about it, I kind of understood it.
Well, I had a senator compare it to an HOA.
A homeowners association?
Absolutely. So Because he heard through the rumor, and this actually is accurate, that Maria Glusenkamp Perez, the representative of the area, wanted to paint her house, and the Gorge Commission got involved in it, and she wasn't able to paint her house the color she wanted.
Yeah.
And the senator goes, "Wow, Paul, this sounds like an HOA."
You know, I guess I can't argue that.
No, you can't. And I thought, and I said, well, that. So I think, Mark, that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. I really do believe they need to be more concentrated on economic development and making sure the gorge stays pristine and nice. But that White Salmon, Carson, and some of these areas can bring in growth that's planned and done well. And I think there's a lot of people who feel like they haven't done that.
Well, I come back to the issue of however you feel about the Gorge Commission. Yeah, if you without funding the Gorge Commission, the act still exists, and that means people have got to do the work that is involved there. So it's one of those things to me. It's like, okay, regardless of how you feel about it, it's a reality. The act's not going away. So I think probably
the money's
what you're saying,
not going to go away, Mark.
Right.
If let's say if this didn't get funded, we'd have to fund our counties. We'd have to fund the counties to do this planning.
Yeah,
it's just not going to go away.
No.
So it's just putting money into a different. In a different agency, but we're not going to get away from this. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Well, okay. Well, we've hit the bottom of the hour here, so we're out of time. Hey, Paul, thanks for doing this, and I'll ask you one more thing before we get away here, because special session has been talked about. I know. Do you think you're going to end up with one?
I think I'll know in 2 days rather than four.
So okay.
I think we'll know today. Tomorrow we'll start seeing what these budgets actually are, and we'll start voting on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I will know probably in a couple of days. But if I was betting, I think we'll be here. I think they'll call a 30-day session. Mm-hmm. The budget writers will stay. The rest of us will go. We'll come back and vote on another budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it'll work, I think.
Well, that's not unprecedented. Paul, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Mark, always good to talk to you. Thank you for what you do.
Hey, thank you. Washington State Senator Paul Harris.